Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The moment, did it feel like shades of week one? Just so you guys have the lead, the lead's gone. Like, how did you get it to change the outcome this time around?
I think the belief that we've grown within the locker room is what changed. That's been the biggest thing throughout this season so far, is the belief. And when you have belief, when you have the trust between each other and the guys and things like that, you know, these moments don't seem too big.
That is Caleb Williams and Courtney Cronin. That was after the game on Sunday. Bears beating the Vikings. This is Raheemy Harrison-Grody on 670 The Score. And we are still trying to figure out what to call the Bears. We're still trying to figure out how to classify them. Hell, we're still trying to figure out a nickname for Caleb Williams. I still believe that he, you know, I'm not going to give him one. I'm not going to be like this person who's like, and that is your nickname.
He is the one.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Not Neo? You're not going with the Danny Parkins model of Neo?
Neo, I think, would have made more sense than the one. The problem with the one is it's not direct.
The 1-3? How about that?
The 1-8?
Well, what about C-Note? C-Dub?
Yeah, C-Note I like. Also,
C-Easy.
Rome just calls him C-Will.
C-Will is just kind of pedestrian.
It and see Willie, don't forget see Willie.
I will probably be trying to forget see Willie, but I will not.
But see, that's the point. Like, who am I to say when everybody else has names for them?
I think it should be Comeback Caleb, but that's just me.
That's it's so a lot long.
Of, yeah, it's word salad.
It's four syllables.
Comeback Caleb. Comeback.
Comeback Caleb. It
yeah,
works
see?
With that.
Boom.
But then I also think of like Rose in Titanic when she's saying to come back and she's trying to blow the whistle. Like, is it a desperation move?
Or is she too short?
There was room on that door. There was so much room.
There really was room on that door.
That is my argument. I can't believe it got to the end of that movie, and that's what I was left
She's
with.
She's so selfish. Like, honestly, like, let a person die.
Well, there are many reasons. Like, what are you doing throwing that thing into the ocean?
You know what?
I didn't ruin anything for you guys. I promise.
Wait, the Titanic situation? Sunk? Wait, what?
Guys, I got news. I was making fun of that when I watched that movie. I was like with a friend and I'm like, well, we all know what happens at the end. Somebody behind us is like, wait, you do? I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, okay. There you were at the movies with not educated people.
I also had a friend who worked the movie theater and she snuck us in because we were old enough to watch the movie.
Nothing better than as a teenager growing up in a certain time to have a friend that worked at the movie theater who could get you free snacks and free admission.
The flip side though was that she was terrible with math. So, like, I never got my change. And I'm like, this was not a $20 movie ticket, Ashley. But I couldn't complain because I wasn't supposed to be watching that movie anyway.
Oh, this is like you watching rated R movies before your time? Oh, I was just talking about going to the movies for free. That's what I was talking about.
No, it was the opposite.
I can't wait till we name this Bear season and put a movie title on it, like the yearbook and review. That'll be fun.
That's the point. We don't have a nickname for Caleb Williams. We still don't know what to call the Bears. We're still trying to figure out who they are. And we're past the halfway point of the season.
I think we know who they are. The problem is you want to know what they're going to evolve into this season.
And I'm not necessarily one who says they have to be this team. Ideally, they evolve during the season.
Yes.
Ideally. I have always said this is a team that is winning games that they just absolutely would not have won last year. Well, Ben Johnson was asked about it thanks to this comeback win against the Vikings on Wednesday. Here's what he had to say.
We've got a lot of depth on this team, and I think we have a lot of guys that
that as a coaching staff, we by design, we put them in some challenging situations from the springtime through training camp. And now when they get in those situations, they're ready for it. You know, we talk all the time about being able to handle pressure, keeping being poised. And I think they rise to the occasion. And so I think that's our entire team. I think that's part of our identity and who we are. And I'm really proud of the guys for handling those situations so far.
It doesn't sound like Ben Johnson really knows what they are either. He's just saying we get it done, right?
Here's what I know. This team, 50 seconds left, the opposing team can't be like, it's cool, we're fine. No.
No, okay, that's
absolutely
fair.
Not. And they've gotten it done in different ways. And that was the original question to Ben Johnson was, it's not just one person getting it done every single time. It's Devin Duvernay with the kickoff return. It's Nashawn Wright with an important pick, for example. It's other people playing into this. Jake Moody won a game. Obviously, Cairo Santos helped him win the game. So there are other people than just Caleb Williams and crew, you know, your typical offensive people. Colston Loveland was a part of this too. They're spreading the ball around even in the ways they win, which is, I think, a fair assessment of this team. You don't know how, but you know that they're going to have a very solid chance when the opportunity arises.
Here's what I feel about this team right now. They are 2-minute warning appointment viewing. Like, you know, in the NBA, we have what we call league pass alert when a game is tight and late. tight and close late. This Bears team is going to be there at the end of a game. They're going to make you watch the last 2 minutes of their game, for better or for worse. Luckily for the Bears so far, at least 7 of the last 8 games, it's been for better, not for worse. But there's that idea that they could lose this game, just like there's that idea that they could win this game.
Certain quarterbacks, you know, you just can't give them time, you know, and to have the Bears even in that conversation where this is discussed and Caleb Williams is one of those people, even though it might not be as pretty as you might like to see it, it's still, to me, the main objective, of course. And when we talk about stripping it down to the studs, I feel like that is a part of this. It will take more time.
I have a sports question for you. Would you rather, on Sunday, have the Bears get the ball at their own 30-yard line with a minute left, down by 3, or would you rather the Bears' defense be on the field and Aaron Rodgers has the ball with a minute left, and the Bears are up by 3?
I mean, if I'm writing the NFL script for Sunday, wink, you know, Jalen Johnson is back and he intercepts him for a pick 6.
You think Jalen Johnson could come back this week?
No, I mean, that's my point. Are you kidding? I thought he was coming back last week.
You did.
I saw him on that. I saw him on that practice report and I was like, he's back. It's happening.
Marshall, when you read the text that said sweep of the wrist for Aaron Rodgers' hurt left wrist, I thought the thing that I thought was there's only one person that has the athleticism to do the roundhouse kick up in the air, and it's Spider-Man. It's Kyler Gordon. He would have to come back.
Wait, but here's, if we're doing this, if we're going WWE style, Kyler Gordon doesn't play for the whole game and then just gets busted out and he runs through the tunnel. I don't know what his music is, but you play his music, obviously.
Kyler Gordon's music.
Exactly. And then he plays that final drive and then he intercepts Aaron Rodgers and does some sort of sweep the wrist action. That's how it's done. Or, you know, just Montez Sweat, the pass rush. This is a great time for the pass rush to hang out this week.
Wait. To be clear, you want Aaron Rodgers on the field with a minute left and the Bears having a 3-point lead?
I'm just saying if I'm writing the script. Okay. If I'm staging it, if you will.
Do you lean one way or the other, right?
You want the Bears offense on the field.
Well,
if I'm writing a wild script, obviously.
Okay, well.
Well, I love Layla's wild script scenario.
If the goal is to win the game, which do you prefer?
Well, I immediately, when you put this scenario out there, Marshall, thought I would love to see Aaron Rodgers with the ball at the end of the game because of the Bears' takeaway factor. They lead the league in takeaways. How amazing would that ending be? Picking off Aaron Rodgers.
Do you have confidence they could do it in that moment with Aaron Rodgers in his building?
Soldier pick 6, baby. Hell yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Robbie's just nodding no over here.
I think that, like, there are two biggest Hail Marys of all time. Like, I would say the Hail Mary is a big one, and then I would say Aaron Rodgers against the Lions. That was, like, one of the biggest Hail Marys of all time. You do not want Aaron Rodgers with the ball left at the end of the game. You want Caleb Williams with the ball at the end of
the
game.
Not even this version of Aaron Rodgers with a broken wrist?
No, like, this... I've been burned too many times by Aaron Rodgers. I can't be doing that. But also, like, if I was an opposing team, I would not give the Bears the ball with, like, any time left on the clock. Like, I would milk that clock until you can score.
But the point is, sometimes you don't have a choice. Like, you score too quickly. Like, they get into field goal range. It's fourth down. There's a minute, you know, 10 left.
Totally. That's... But I think of, like, the Bears and the Commanders game. Like, they didn't give the Commanders the ball back. They could have scored, but instead they're like, you know what? We're going to trust Jake Moody and not give Jayden Daniels the ball.
Even the way they actually operated the Vikings game. Like, we talked about that aspect. They didn't really pass. They just tried to run as many runs as they possibly could, and then they started running the right side, I'm pretty sure, because that's where they wanted Kairos Santos to kick the ball. And Ben Johnson talked about that, too. He said, you know, there's a massive difference in the likelihood of the accuracy for every yard they get that's close, especially when it's five like that. So you have an idea of what the Bears would do in those scenarios based on what we've already seen.
I go back. The reason I present the question is because I don't have a good answer myself. I'm still trying to figure it out.
I mean, I always start with the ideal and the ridiculous first, and then I rationalize from there.
847 says, no way I want Rodgers with the ball at the end of the game. He's with you, Robbie. I tend to kind of agree. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'd rather have Caleb Williams on the field down three with a minute left.
Logically, yes. You want the offense. But illogically, as I'm writing a script, no. No, I want Kyler Gordon out the tunnel for the final drive.
Would it be enough, though, if you got the ball at the 30 by way of an interception off Aaron Rodgers as they're trying to add to their lead? That wouldn't that satisfy that part of it?
You know what? No. You know what I want? You know what I want, no. Actually? Montez Sweat, go get him. Sack, fumble.
I have questions of whether or not Aaron Rodgers can survive this game. Just because the reason why he had to leave the last game is because the Bengals were able to put him on his back in a 34-12 Steelers win.
I also want to ask you guys this. I think about this probably more than I should. That NFC Championship game, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, what was that, 2021 season? That was the end of the 21 season? Where Vita Vea, I believe, is closing in on him, or it's Jason Pierre-Paul, one of the two like prolific rushers.
This Brady's with the Bucks, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Rodgers is driving, and it's like third down. Do you remember? And he throws the incomplete pass because like they were crashing in on him, basically, in the way the coverage worked. And I remember seeing his face and thinking, you know, and I know. That's the closest you're going to get to a Super Bowl again in your career.
That was your thought prevailing at that moment.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know why that came up for me this week, obviously, because we're thinking about Aaron Rodgers, but just that moment. And again, that's why, you know, sweep the leg.
So we talk now about, like, we've seen enough evidence this year of the Bears making the late game comeback. Like, if the Bears do have the ball late in the game, like, what is your confidence level that they're going to score? Because I feel like right now it's never been higher.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think they're, especially at home in front of that crowd, there will be that expectation. I don't know that everyone going to the game expects the Bears to win, but I do know that if the game is tied late or they're only down a couple or three, like if they're within one score, they expect if Caleb Williams is on the field with under 2 minutes to play that they're going to make something happen and either tie or win the game.
Why wouldn't you? You know, I think that's the better question. What would stop you from thinking that? Is it the threat of J.J. Watt, the Wolverines, as Ben Johnson described, the pass rushers?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of two things. It's the weighing of two different things, right? Here are the truths that we know. The Steelers give up more passing yards than anybody else, right? But they also get to the freaking quarterback, and they do it in a variety of ways with a variety of different players.
Yeah, this isn't just the Max Crosby and the Raiders situation.
Right.
Who definitely had an impact on that game for the Bears.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the thing, is understanding that the pressure that is brought by the Steelers is so good that you feel like you have a chance to get something done despite the risk. And that's why it's interesting that they brought in the practice squad player off the street to mimic Caleb Williams, because they understand it's a unique challenge based on the film that you can now look. And, you know, there's a whole YouTube rabbit hole you can go down. Caleb Williams, Houdini, you know? Oh, yeah.
I mean, and if you want to see our buddy Tim Jenkins' breakdowns, all things QB on YouTube is one of my favorites. And I'm not just saying that because he's on our show. The other piece of this, too, is the Steelers are a formidable opponent when it comes to run defense. This is not the Bengals and Giants that we're talking about facing here. So because of that, how much are they going to try to stuff the run when they want to go east-west? You better hit that line quickly, and there's got to be like a burst to go downhill.
Is it bad that I'm not really worried about that? I think the Bears are going to run the football. I think the 12 personnel and the Colston Loveland and the Cole Kmet, they're going to continue to pick up where they left off.
Yeah, run that jumbo package for sure. 312-644-6767 as we go to the phones. And Eric in Oak Forest. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for being able to talk on the show. Hey, a name for Caleb, Cardiac Caleb. The reason I say that is because he has heart, which is part of that, you know, cardiac, but he also brings excitement. And at times, you know, heart palpitations as we're seeing him do that comeback. So just thought I'd drop that in there.
It's a clear choice, Eric. It is a clear choice. I see you're calling from Oak Forest. Are you hanging out at Captain Jack's later today?
Yes, I am. I just found out because I'm, you know, running some errands that you guys are going to be there for sure. Yeah, I'm not too far from there. So definitely I'll be dropping in.
Well, thanks, Eric. Thanks for your call. We will see you later today at Oak Forest. If you don't know, come to Captain Jack's Beverage in Oak Forest tonight from 5 to 7:30. I'll be there, and you can register for a chance to win a pair of passes to attend Football After Dark with Nashawn Wright. That is at Moretti's in Bedford Park on December 2nd. I'm really looking forward to that conversation. It's all brought to you by Remy Martin, VSOP, This Is My City. And then keep listening for your chance to win two tickets to Spiegel and Holmes' live broadcast from 2 to 6 p.m. on December 4th. That's at the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois Performance Stage with special guest Matt Forte. Matt Forte will host a signing for his new book, Stay in the Game, Making the Most of Every Season. I want to know what Matt Forte thinks about all this. Matt Forte wants to face Aaron Rodgers, doesn't he?
I would think so. Like at
Matt
least
Forte that, would face the, him today.
That'll be the stated opinion because Matt Forte does not have to put any pads on and worry about it.
I also was thinking about playlist songs and defaulted to thinking that it's got to be Knuck If You Buck on repeat 10 times in a row.
Wow. That's your go-to? You want violence. Okay, I see. I see you, Layla.
You knew this.
I'm a moniker of nonviolence, but you know what? You have your path. I have mine.
And then it just ends up being one person holding me back and I'm like swinging my fists into perpetuity. Just pointlessly. You know the meme I'm talking about where like somebody's
feistiness.
Holding somebody on their head and they're just like punching and trying to force
it's what I used to do to my siblings when I was younger.
Because you were taller than them.
I was taller, longer. I could do it. I could hold them at bay. Each one with a hand.
I'm the same height I was when I was 12.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'll never forget the day when my brother realized he was taller than me. It sucked.
I mean,
he just went around looking down on me the whole day.
I did that to my grandmother. She didn't appreciate
it. He just kept looking.
Grandmother?
Yeah, because she was like.
Yeah, that's messed up.
No,
take that, granny. Yeah.
No, because she was like, I'm never going to look up to you. So I would try to like force her to look up to me by like getting at certain angles. And she would always cut her eyes over like she was looking at me like to the side. I was like, nah, you're going to look up to me. And I got her in the kitchen one day and she was like, I was like, hey, why are you looking up at me like that? She's like, ah.
I would love if you, like, to granny, like, did the too small thing. Like, hey, granny.
If it existed at the time, I would have. Yeah. If it existed at the time, I would have. I miss her cooking. I miss her.
Amen. 847, Captain Jack's is a liquor store with cigars. Are you going to smoke one? Probably not because I'll talk 9 octaves lower tomorrow. Yeah, that's
wait,
the,
it's a football Friday. Can you smoke a cigar like
danger.
During a break and come back and give that to us?
The combination of brown liquor and the cigar.
That's a thing.
Not that I'm saying I know anything about
you
that.
You definitely know about that life. Don't even try to play like, oh, I don't know anything. I've heard about that. No, you've lived it. You've been immersed in it. You've come out of a smoke-filled room like, oh, cigar.
Suddenly, maybe. Layla Rahimi sounding like Bill Curtis.
Rahimi Harrison Grody.
We're in trouble.
I want you to come in here tomorrow with a smoking jacket on. that someone gifted you last night. We're like, yes, this was a gift.
Like the satin.
Yes, all of it.
I'm thinking of that Saturday Night Live skit.
Ascot.
The five-time hosts. Do you remember that? Coming up next here on Raheemy Harrison Grody, let's get you ready for your fantasy football weekend. Our expert, Paul Charchian. And oh, by the way, Vikings fan. Let's troll him next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I think you're really underestimating the broad sexual appeal that I have.
Paul Charchian, fantasy football guru.
And we get to find out now if all our fantasy drafts, we all love our teams right now. Half of us are going to be like, oh, what have I done?
Yeah, it's a good time to face the Vikings right now as they're trying to onboard J.J. McCarthy. It has been trying for Viking fans.
And it's intercepted by Byard. McCarthy.
Charchian with Raheemy Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We love talking to Paul Charchian. He's our fantasy football expert, and he might be in a little bit of pain after his Vikings loss to the Bears Sunday. Yeah. He joins us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Church, yeah, how you doing after that one?
The mood in among Viking fans is not good right now. It's still early, but you're consoling ourselves. The only thing to console ourselves at the quarterback position with J.J. McCarthy is that it's still only five games. But here's the thing. Most of the quarterbacks who turn out to be pretty good or very good, at some point in five games, they're giving you glimpses of greatness. We're not getting that. You know, we had the Vikings had this. They had one good fourth quarter drive that resulted in a touchdown last week, but other than that, there aren't these things that make you go, oh, J.J. McCarthy's got something special in him. We're just not seeing it yet, and at least my patience is starting to wear through five games. I need to start seeing better results.
Your patience is starting to wear thin because Kevin O'Connell made Sam Darnold look all world.
He did. He's, Darnold JJ, unraveled last week.
J.J. McCarthy has had five starts to his name in the league.
Well, that's true. Now, you know, and Darnold was in a better spot to be good early than Sam is. Sam is still the youngest starting cornerback in the league. So
six for the record. Six starts. Sorry.
That's okay. That's on me, I think, if we're at six starts. Yes.
No, we're. This is coming up as his sixth start. Yeah.
Yeah. Coming up will be his sixth start.
There
yes,
it is.
Yes. You know, that, all right. I think we have settled that part of the debate, fortunately. Just want to see more. We loved what he did with Sam Darnold. Darnold, I was hoping last week. Everybody's been all season long with Darnold playing at an MVP level up until last week. What he kept hearing was, well, wait until somebody gets consistent pressure on Sam Darnold. He's going to unravel just like he did at the end of the Viking season. I was hoping that wouldn't be the case, but that's exactly what happened to Sam Darnold. Last week, they got consistent pressure on him, and he was awful, just like he was in the playoffs last year. So, you know, the story on Darnold, I think, is still evolving. Seattle still looks like a great team, but Darnold's going to have to get past this next step in his progression, which is not to give away games with sacks and interceptions when he's under pressure, and we haven't seen that yet.
Can your Vikings, like, do everyone a favor and just win this weekend?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, I like the idea.
I would love to see that happen. Yeah,
yeah, because I got the Packers for the first of two meetings over the next seven games, and if you can get one of those, the people in Chicago will be very thankful.
Well, we don't need to do it for you. We can do it for ourselves. You know, we hate the Packers, you know. And see, you can appreciate this more than most. Here's why we hate the Packers in Minnesota. Like you, we are a border state. And like you, we have all these Wisconsinites who are raised in Wisconsin. The DNA is Packers all the time. They grow up. They inherit their great-grandfather's season tickets. They love the Packers. They've had 30-plus years of Hall of Fame quarterbacking. They have competent quarterbacking now. And then when these Packer fans need a job or a girlfriend, what do? They go over the border and they come to a real state.
They come to a real economy
and a real city, and they don't leave their Packer fandom behind. They bring the arrogance that they have for Hall of Fame quarterbacking and all the wins with them. And that's what makes the Packer fans insufferable.
My favorite was when Wisconsin played Minnesota and College Game Day was there. And the signs were hilarious. And the one that was the best said, "Spotted cow is just okay." And I was like, oh my God, that is fighting words right there.
That's fantastic. I love it. It is. That is our big rival. It's, you know, like you, it's not the Bears, it's the Packers. And that is part of why that's not even an on the field. That's an off the field example, because their fan base is built with that level of arrogance, and they take it with them.
How do you feel about your old guy, Kirk Cousins, now starting for the rest of the year for the Falcons? Is that a good fantasy thing if you're looking around trying to find somebody to fill your quarterback position? Because maybe, I don't know, you had J.J. McCarthy on your bench or something?
Oh.
Right. You're in a two-quarterback league, and you're scrapping for any starting quarterback, and now we've got Kirk Cousins available. Now, he won't have Drake London this week, and maybe not for a few weeks, and London was rocking. He was doing so well. But the Cousins we've seen so far last year, just basically since he tore his Achilles, not the same guy. For this year, where Cousins has been in and out of the lineup a few times, he's had 17 drives this year, one touchdown in those 17 drives. And across those 17 drives of passes longer than 9 yards, which is not very far, 9 yards, he's at a 28% completion rate. The worry for me on Cousins is less about Cousins, more about Bijan Robinson, who we care a lot about. I'm worried every defense, including beginning this week with the Saints, every defense is simply going to play to stop Robinson and take their chances on Kirk Cousins beating them. And Robinson will have to be superhuman to overcome defenses that are playing specifically and only to stop him, especially if Drake London's not on the field. And that's going to provide some downside that we just don't normally get from Bijan Robinson.
The Browns have another quarterback. Stop me when you've heard that before. What do you think is a realistic fantasy expectation for Shedeur Sanders?
Can we just briefly recap his performance last week?
4 of 16. Interception with the game on the line. Yeah, I saw what happened.
You're familiar. 4 of 16 is actually charitable. He had 21 dropbacks and completed 4 passes. Which is unthinkable. He absorbed 2 sacks along the way. You mentioned the interception, held the ball too long. Accuracy was absurd. Here's one of the things that kills me on Shedeur Sanders. Pocket breaks down. He turns his back to the offense. He naturally, instinctively runs away from the play. Unless you are Fran Tarkenton, do not run away from your offense. Well, he badly missed a wide open player in the end zone. And Shedeur Sanders could and should be better with a full week of practice as the starter.
Yeah, with the ones. That was the most baffling part, was what he had to say about practicing with the ones and how few reps he had had.
Yes, which is pretty legitimate, I think. You know, here's where it's going to be fun with this Raiders game, and it's hard to have any fun with the Raiders game, but you know, one of the few things the Raiders can do well is Max Crosby. They can get some pressure on quarterbacks, and Shedeur's so bad under pressure that this thing could have a lot of almost comedy to it. I think Shedeur siphons off the fantasy value, what little fantasy value is left in Cleveland, for guys like Jerry Jeudy and Harold Fannin and David Njoku. And if here's something really deflating, think about this. If Shedeur really is bad and Dylan Gabriel remains concussed, next man up, Deshaun Watson. Yep. What? We could be looking at Deshaun Watson helming games for the Browns this year, and maybe as soon as even potentially next week in play as a possibility for Deshaun Watson back under center for Cleveland. We thought we had turned the page on that era and we didn't have to consider or think about Deshaun Watson. His ownership group savaged him in the summer when they assumed he would never see the field. But here we are with Cleveland potentially turning to fourth stringer Deshaun Watson, who may be healthy as soon as next week.
I think it's an Ohio thing. Cincinnati also has the chance a guy comes back and plays quarterback.
One of them is definitely a Browns thing.
Well, you say that, but the struggles are similar. Joe Burrow, could he be, because he's on my IR right now, could he be back in the mix?
This week. It's possible he's starting this week, which is earlier than anybody expected. But Flacco has got a shoulder injury. The healthier of the two may be Joe Burrow here. Now, he's not going to have Ja'Marr Chase to throw to, thanks to his spitting suspension. I am guessing that neither of you have ever gotten so angry that you have spit on anybody. Is that correct?
No. I may have yelled at someone and some spittle came out of my mouth. I don't think it hit him, though.
Yeah, that's just, you know, cost of doing business.
Yeah, right. That's just a typical lunch with Marshall right there. You're rolling the dice on some of your goob ending up on my face. I mean, that's just going to, you know, that might just happen at lunch. I don't know if this is the first time for Ja'Marr Chase or he is a practice spitter, but I do know that I would not want to be the DoorDash driver who brings him cold fries. I'll say that. So Ja'Marr Chase not going to play. Patriots are the opponent. Joe Burrow could play in this game. Patriots run defense is awesome. So they see a lot of passing. We've seen Baker Mayfield, Michael Penix have three touchdown games in the last couple of weeks against the Patriots. So there are going to be some opportunities for Burrow. I wish he was going to have Ja'Marr Chase. He won't. He'll have to make do with T. Higgins, which is not the worst number two option.
We're talking to our fantasy football expert, Paul Charchian, and the segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Charch, we have a Thursday night game. And yes. I think you think this is a lot sexier of a matchup than I do in regards to Buffalo and Houston. So why do you think that Josh Allen may not put up the type of numbers we're used to seeing?
Houston's the best defense in the NFL. They are top three in rushing yards allowed, passing yards allowed, points allowed. This is a really, really good defense. Josh Allen, 0-3 lifetime in his games in Houston. Last time he played them last year, he put up 131 passing yards and scored one passing touchdown. That's it. Here's some Houston stats for you on how good this pass defense is. No opposing quarterback has topped 213 yards in seven straight games. And 213 is nothing. They've given up 10 passing touchdowns this year in 10 games. That's it. No opposing quarterback has scored a rushing touchdown. And that's a lot of what we're here for with Josh Allen, especially if, you know, given the receivers they've got, they're talking about benching Keon Coleman again. Khalil Shakir is not healthy. This thing, you know, Buffalo is losing games people did not expect. This has got some of that recipe here in what could be a much closer game than I think people realize in Houston.
The Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, Paul Charchian, thanks again for joining us here on Raheem Harrison Grody.
Thanks, Charch.
I know a lot more spit talk than we had planned on, I know, but sooner or later, bodily fluids generally come up in our segments, and it was just a matter of time.
We appreciate you spitting, Charch. We always get good knowledge out of you.
spitting knowledge,
facts.
For sure.
That's what we're spitting.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks,
we
friends.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
That's Paul Charchian. Of course, you can catch his work also on X. He is at Paul Charchian and gives advice and information there as well. Coming up next, it is time for Halftime. You know, I've heard a lot of dine and dash in my day, stories and why and what motivated it. This one, newer and dumber than anything that I had seen.
I like new. Dumb, I'm getting more and more used to it.
In 2025, that's a good bet. We'll do it now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
It is halftime here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And let's face it, we might not have this guy to hate for very much longer. It's been 20 years of hating on Aaron Rodgers, and rightfully so. So I'm going to cherish this week and examine all the angles, because that's what the NFL script is all about. So we did that for a few segments. Then we talked about the Bulls pulling off a ridiculous win last night. Vooch hitting the buzzer beater in Portland. Bulls are now 8-6 on the season after that 122-121 win. So the Bulls come away with the W. That was fun to discuss. We got into what the identity of this Bears team is so far. They find ways to win. They do it with different people. Ben Johnson told us. And we talked to Paul Cherochi and getting you ready for your fantasy football weekend. And we dunked on him a little bit because the Bears beat his Vikings.
It's halftime.
We've all heard of Dine and Dash, have we not?
Yes.
So the headline, it's gonna make you roll your eyes. Instagram foodie allegedly cooks up Dine and Dash scheme at trendy NYC restaurants. And the lead is hilarious.
I'm already annoyed.
This is from NBC News. Restaurant employees in Brooklyn say she's the Instagram foodie who wears Prada but pays nada. But can we stop doing things under the guise of, I'm an influencer, give me free things? This has been big discussion recently on the internet because there was a woman demanding pastries and then she wanted to do a review and then she made up this whole story.
I remember.
About how they were bad and she gave this bad review and the whole thing was just absolutely disingenuous. People are getting fed up with this whole thing.
What I liked about that story specifically is the woman who owned the bakery, like, did her own video, and it was, she cooked the influencer.
I think that's what you have to do sometimes. That's what you have to do. So for about a month, and she pulled this off multiple times at the same restaurants too. That's what makes this so wild. 34-year-old Pei Chung had been skipping out on the bill at six spots in Williamsburg alone, according to police. She allegedly even struck the same restaurant, Francie, twice. She's been arrested multiple times and released. How about this flex? She visited Peter Luker's steakhouse in October, where an employee told NBC New York she ordered nearly $150 worth of steak, sides, and desserts for herself. And she posts this, so she's literally posting evidence of her crimes. And on her food blog, Chung posted pictures of her meal and gave Peter Luger a glowing review. Yeah, because you thought you could get out of there for free. So the employees thought it was really weird that she stayed for multiple hours, and when she was given the bill, she allegedly told employees she couldn't pay. The worker said she tried to then barter with items from her bags, including a set of kitchen shears. Why did she have kitchen shears in her purse?
I am so confused right now.
I told you this was going to be a new one when it came to these type of stories. She went to a Thai restaurant. She ordered more than $100 worth of food. They're calling her the Anna Delvey of dining.
You know what? Can this year end? Can 2025 end?
Mercifully. We still got a few more weeks.
I'm aware.
The most wonderful time of the year. The time where we get to see what the Bears offense really looks like. And then she was also denied entry to a couple different spots after they recognized her from previously. In fact, the next day she tried to show up to Peter Luger.
Wait, she went back to the same place the next day?
Yes. And employees knew who she was, so they didn't let her come in. The official charge is theft of services. Apparently, being an annoying influencer who's a fake is not a charge that you can actually put on people.
Half glass full. I want the confidence of this person. The fact that she steals goes right back. Like, I want that confidence to be like, you know what? I'm going to steal in your face. I'm going to do it again.
She's taken act like you've been there before and added and act like you can pay for it, too.
But also the delusion. Oh, I'll pay for this meal at Peter Luger with a pair of kitchen shears.
The delusion is coming back the next day. That's the delusion.
I can do this again. It's totally different people. Maybe if you knew what work was like and earning money and not stealing, you would know that people typically work shifts the next day.
I love she's treating Peter Luger like it's the bazaar. Like she can barter with them and like that makes no sense.
The picture is so funny too. The one that NBC posted. Like, it's, I don't know if it's her, but it's just this typical, like, you know, it's a woman taking a picture of herself, like a selfie, and it just looks like influencer. Like, you just, like, Google image for influencer, and that's what this is. I'll post it on our Twitch chat.
But I'm looking at her Instagram page right now, and
yes.
What?
Oh, tell us what it says.
It's just, it's very curated to look like she's, you know,
not a thief.
And, yeah. Yeah, NYC. She got 22,000 followers on the gram.
Oh, 22. Well, look at her.
She's doing big things. She's got food posts. She's got shoe posts. Just, you know.
Dude, what are the captions? Can you see the captions?
Well, now I've been kicked off because I didn't log in. I was just on Instagram.
Is it just Pei Chung?
Yeah, I just looked her up based on.
Let's see what
I can go on my phone now.
The entitlement. But then what are we doing? We're helping her by visiting her profile. See, that's where the problem comes in.
So, you know, this is a safe space. You know, the people of Chicago, they love us very much.
Not according to the internet.
Let this be a place where you can absolve your sins. Have you guys ever dined in Dash?
No.
I have not.
Do you
I'm
know
black
how
in America.
Slow
I'm not
and
dumb.
Uncoordinated I am?
Yeah.
That's not an option. I look like I'm lying all the time.
The juice is not worth the squeeze.
Yeah, I've never done it either, but
we're getting confessions on the mob on the Twitch chat.
Oh, they're doing it on the mob?
How
they're
did
dining
you do
and
it,
dashing?
Though? Do you care to share?
I want somebody to text walk out. That got caught and tell me what happened when they got caught. Those are the stories I'm here for.
All right, I think I found her. Her brother is a fighter jet pilot, according to this. Do we believe her?
Oh, this is interesting from 773. Not trying to defend her, but Peter Luger's steakhouse only takes cash or their house credit card.
Yeah, the problem is, though, it was... Yeah, I knew that part, but also she's done it at multiple restaurants, according to this.
Oh, that's right.
According to the NYPD, including another one that is a Thai restaurant that they mentioned.
847, the irony that this Dine and Dasher is named Pei.
Okay, so this is from Francie Brooklyn. So this must have been one of the Dine and Dashes because they mentioned Francie too. Colorado lamb, leeks, beetroot, spice, ash, persillade. Michelin dinner at Francie. Foie gras quenelle, carpaccio, bucatini, Colorado lamb, hot chocolate mousse, lemon verbena, grease. Tasting notes. And then like it's guys, this caption goes on for like a mile. I can't do it.
630's question. Is she very demure? I would say yes. She is demure.
Yeah, she does look mindful, yeah. That's an insult though to the person from Chicago who created that caption. I don't think stealing is demure or mindful.
Oh, I forgot that was a Chicago. Yeah.
It's insulting you're right. to that person.
Random quick question. What's your favorite restaurant in Chicago?
There is no one. That's insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you can't just have one. It's like having a favorite child.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is impossible.
I do like Maxwell Trading.
Haven't been yet.
So what we did to that turkey out there yesterday, that's what Clay and I do when we go to Maxwell's Trading. We just order so much food and just destroy it all.
I've heard such good things. It was the food guy who told me about it first, Steve Delinsky.
Let me tell you something.
Oh, and it was Matt Rodriguez.
I've never been disappointed when I go there. That's those are like that one I get excited for. I get excited for Wishbone because, you know, I love a good breakfast, a little Southern style breakfast. They do a good
of
brunch.
The biscuit variety.
Give me your biscuits. Ina May's like their biscuits, too.
Ina May's is great. Frontier is awesome, too.
Yeah, but I have Southern taste. So like my answers aren't going to be what everyone else's answers are. Anything that reminds me of like down south, if they got the cheddar grits. The grits with the cheddar in them, infused.
Of course, I'm a Joe Flam fan. So Rosemary's up there for me.
Oh, Rosemary's amazing. Yes.
I'm a Gibson's girl. I do love Gibson's. I love Tavern.
The Stefani group is,
I'm a big fan of what they do. But Bavette's, obviously.
Oh, Bavette, the bacon. The Gilt bacon Bar. At Bavette. Gilt yeah. Bar right next door.
That's Sam Caesar.
One is crazy, Robbie. One is crazy.
That's do you same. Have one?
Me? No, I do not. But I do like a good breakfast place. I had it the other day. I absolutely loved it. It's called S&G's, Sam and George's. It is unbelievable. Great skillets. Unbelievable skillets.
Hey, did you ever find out who made the best sandwich in your sandwich draft?
Well, it's JP Graziano's. It's the best. Mr. G's is the best sandwich in all of Chicago.
They're so great there. I bring cash for tip when I go. So shout out to JP Graziano. Coming up next on Rahimi Harrison Grody, it is time for Five on It with special guest. You heard him from yesterday. He's back. Clay Harbor here in studio with us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.